Welcome to Hablamos, Conversations on Teaching, Learning, and Via Multilingualism, the podcast of the ICME-EE project at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. As mentioned in the name, the main goal of this podcast is to embrace multilingualism. So we are going to have conversation around this topic in the classroom and how teachers can support by a multilingual development. I'm Araceli Lobato and I will be your host. So I hope you enjoy today's conversation. Hi, welcome to our podcast. Today we have the privilege of having an important guest here. Welcome, Dr. Svenja. I don't know if I pronounce this correctly.
Perfect.
So today it's a very special day because one of our main goals for this podcast is to be able to do it multilingual. So not only to talk in English, but also in another language. So today we are having a conversation in English, but then we are going to have it in German too. So actually, now that I'm thinking, this is an intercultural podcast because my background is from Spain and we have now a German speaker. So welcome to the United States too, Dottora. Okay, so we always start our podcast asking about the guest background. So can you speak a little about yourself to see for our listener, get them know you a little bit more?
Okay, yeah, so thank you for having me today. Willkommen, you could say in German. Willkommen.
Willkommen.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm a trained German as a second language teacher. I also studied social science and German studies. I did my undergraduate at the University of Bielefeld in the middle of Germany, and I did my PhD at the University of Lüneburg in the northern part of Germany. And my research focus is on teacher competencies regarding to work with multilingual learners in the content classrooms.
Okay. And can you tell us why are you here in Nebraska? Because I suppose that for our listener is gonna be, okay, what is she doing here, like in Nebraska, in Lincoln? I don't get it. So can you explain us a little bit?
Yeah, I haven't heard about Nebraska before, I'll be honest.
Do you know how to locate it in the map?
No, I didn't. Okay. I had to look it up, I'm honest. So yeah, I got to know Kara Wieska when I was working in the German research project called DATSCOM, by the way. Mm-hmm. And we had the opportunity as junior researchers to get funding to meet with international junior researchers to work together. And so I reached out to different senior researchers and asked, so how do you know someone who would be interested in working with me on the topic of multilingual learners? And so I got in contact with Kara, who was at the time at the University of Colorado, Denver. Mm-hmm. And
now she's here.
Now she's here, and that's the reason I'm here.
that's good. Why did you choose the multilingual teaching, or why do you think that is important for the world, let's say, to be multilingual on? Or maybe why teachers need to teach how multilingual students.
Okay, so I guess there are several questions.
Yeah, there are several questions.
So I start with the first one, maybe like what was my motivation?
Yeah, your motivation.
To become a teacher. Well, I guess one of the experience, it's actually based on an experience that I made. And I've been a nanny after I graduated from high school. I was a nanny in Canada for a year, and I spoke only German with the boys that I was looking at. Mm-hmm. And I realized that what kind of like mistakes they made, for example. I can remember saying them like, they tried to say, I need to go to the bathroom, and she just translated it exactly like that into German. So it sounded really, really funny. And so I was wondering, so how can that happen? what's happening there, because it's so different from if you see like monolingual
you know, although it's very different, I think that is the biggest sentence that everybody learn in another language. Like,
I need
to go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
Although it's very different and it's the most important one.
That's right. Yeah, so that was the, I guess, initial idea going to become a German as a second language teacher. And during my studies, I actually had one of, I guess, my most important moments was when I went to Russia to... Well, I worked at a school there and taught German, but I didn't know, well, I just did know a little bit of Russian. And I went there and was okay, but nobody spoke German
or
obviously English or any other language than
Russian. And they're not so close, like the language distance
from
Russian to English or German.
It's
a different language family. So
that's right. But it was the kind of experience that I made and the way I felt was that I remember going by bus was like a huge challenge because I didn't know how to use the bus because it was different. So they were not like kind of not real bus stations. You just needed to know where those stations were. And you kind of needed to tell the driver that you wanted to stop even though you didn't know there were stops. So that was actually something really hard for me to experience, that I felt so limited in my decisions that I could make. So sometimes I would just say, I'm not taking the bus. I'm too afraid today to like say something or to be like feel not confident. So I just started just walking in circles around where I lived, and the circles became bigger and bigger. But I felt like a little child again somehow. Mm-hmm. So much less confidence. And so I came back to Germany, and the view of how things work changed so much, because I was like, oh, so maybe it's hard for other people who come to Germany too to take a bus, to buy a ticket for the bus, to whatever, use
an ATM.
Exactly. Yeah. So lots of the things that we are doing in teacher preparation is talking about them and saying, oh, you should go abroad sometime. But
feel it.
It is really, even that is really hard to kind of really get an experience like that, because if you would ask me now, do you want to do that again, I probably would say no way. It was horrible. I always say, when people ask me afterwards, was it a great time, did you have a great time, I was like no. But it was a great experience.
Exactly.
But this is just something that people need to experience somehow, and like be open to grasp those opportunities to make those experiences.
It's like putting in other shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's make me think that teaching a language is not teaching language itself, it's teaching the culture. So if a teacher wants to teach Russian here, for instance, in Lincoln, they have to teach also the culture there. So it's not because sometimes teacher thinks that, okay, I can teach the language, but they are afraid of teaching the culture because maybe they don't know it, or maybe it's very different. So multilingual thing is not only about language, and I think I want to make an emphasis of this. It's not only language but also culture. So this is a good example of in the classroom we don't have to teach only the language itself but also the culture. And I don't think that I remember the whole question that I did before, but I think you are answered them quite
extensively.
No, but very good for sure.
Hi, I'm Kara Vieska from the International Consortium for Multilingual Excellence in Education Project, the project that is bringing you this podcast. It's a 5-year, $2.7 million project funded by the Federal Department of Education's Office for English Language Acquisition. Through this project, we are offering fun, free, flexible, and engaging professional learning opportunities for professional learning communities of educators who want to learn more about working with multilingual students. We have over 30 e-workshops available and are continuously designing more. Our e-workshops are innovative, multimedia online resources that allow for groups of educators to collaborate around important topics related to the education of multilingual students through practice-embedded and inquiry-oriented approaches. To see if our e-workshops might be right for you or educators you work with, please visit our website. We're on the College of Education and Human Sciences website at University of Nebraska Lincoln. So it's cehs.unl.edu/ICMEE. Thanks so much and enjoy.
Okay, so from that experience that you just talked about, why do you think that teachers have to be prepared to teach multilingual students?
Well, obviously, having an experience and feeling different and feeling less comfortable is a really important one. But obviously, you can't send every teacher to a Russian experience like I just told you about. So I guess one of the things is that me as a university teacher, I can transport those experience to the teachers, right? I can talk about that and I can sensitize them for those kind of feelings and issues that arise by these experiences. But of course, there are also other things than the ones that we talked about right now. Mm-hmm. For example, in the project DATSCOM that I was mentioning earlier, we developed a competency model for teachers working with multilingual learners. Mm-hmm. And in this project, we developed this competency model, which has three dimensions, meaning that teachers need to know something about subject-specific registers, multilingualism, and also principles of teaching, so didactics.
Mm-hmm. And multilingual pedagogies.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Something like that, right? And in order to get those content to the teachers, we kind of need to know what kind of opportunities to learn they need. Mm-hmm. And if in Germany, and I guess that's the same in the US, we don't have a really strong empirical base of knowledge how those opportunities to learn should look like. So that's something why we developed this model and based on that a test instrument to test those competencies in order to evaluate opportunities to learn and then to enhance them so that teacher preparation programs can get a better understanding of if their teacher education program concerning multilingual learners does really help or not, or how it can be changed.
And what kind of teachers are those who are receiving this preparation? Like, for instance, with the ICMEE project, you don't need to be a foreign language teacher to be able to participate in our e-workshop. So in your case, in your project, it's something quite similar, or?
Yes, so we are looking at all content teachers. Mm-hmm. And so there's a difference in Germany between federal states. If you have an obligatory course that you have to take at university or not, but every content teacher should, and in some federal states must take courses. So from the sports teacher to the music, English, physics teachers, all of them
are able to do it. Have you put in practice this thing already in the field, like with current teachers, or?
We're actually working on that right now. So we have a group of teachers that we are evaluating right now that are more in an endorsement program, I would say, and they are tested right now. Mm-hmm. So we don't have we don't have data on the comparisons between in-service and pre-service teachers so far, but we will have in the future.
So when you have it, can you come back and talk about that?
Sure. So I'd be happy to.
Thank you so much for being here and be able to talk to our listener about your project. It has been a pleasure having Dr. Svenja Hammer here. Yeah, hammer like the hammer, like the tool. If you want to know a little bit more about her, you can click on the link that we are going to have in the website, as you know, in the podcast notes. So you can keep in touch with her. And do you want to add something else, Dr. Svenja Hammer?
Well, I guess I can give a huge, huge thank you to you and also to Kara for inviting me here and for having me.
Thank you so much.
Dankeschön.
Dankeschön. Gracias.